A61, number 14B.
So we see in mind, what do we do in mind? Unless we open up our thought for reality, for the true idea, for God, for the light, nothing really starts in our life. So in mind, we have to make that actual decision that we say, oh, I have to seek, I have to learn, I have to investigate, I have to discover really the light. So that's mind only. When one has made that decision, then one comes to the point of spirit to substantiate that. To substantiate that, not by thinking what is right and what is wrong, but by actually turning away from the false concept and turning actually to the right concept and making that turning from one side to the next side. Yes? Then comes soul. And what does soul now say, ask of us? From sense to soul, what does that mean? Is that the same as spirit?
No, it's the desire to become identified with that.
Yes.
To make it your own, to be that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what, I don't know, you wanted to say, huh, too? That now you try with all your heart and with all your being to really identify yourself to that which you have chosen to be a reality and the right and the light. Huh? You begin now to do everything in that passage from sense to soul to really identify yourself, to incorporate everything that is of the right nature. All right, I show you again with science. Huh? Now let's have a science hula. Huh? See, it's again like this. We said, in mind, huh, you are closed. You are in the darkness, and you say, I open myself up, huh, to the light. I really see. I must let in the true light. It's an opening up of your whole mentality and everything, and say, golly, there must be an answer, there must be a light, there must be an intelligence. And it's a opening up for something. Hmm? That's the first day. Let there be light. Let the light come in. Hmm? Then, when you have seen that, and you say, all right, then in this case, I must substantiate that. And I do it by turning away from that which is of the nature of darkness and of materiality and which I know is wrong, huh? And I turn away from that and I say, now let's with all my might and strength turn towards the right. Huh? So spirit is only that turning from to. Huh? Can you see? It's only this. Huh? Once you have turned to the right, you are not yet there. Then comes soul and says, now I go along this way with all my persistence, with everything I have. I just go and go and go and go until I get it. Huh? Yes? That's the hula of the first 3 days. Huh? Well, that's the language of spirit too. Huh? It's an inner an attitude. Huh? Absolute an inner attitude which... And therefore, you can see the second and the third are very distinct, though they perhaps seem at the superficial is from sense to soul. You could also feel, well, that has to do from turning away from sense and turning towards soul. It is more than that. Huh? It's more than that. It's when one has turned to the right. When only has turned, one is not yet there. Now comes the passage. Huh? Now you begin to step by step. You always try to get nearer and nearer, and you need to be tough. Huh? You need to be persevering. Never give in. Never go back. Huh? Never turn back. Never look back. Huh? This is all soul. Huh? Soul says, don't look back. Huh? Don't retrograde. Don't fall back. Huh? Soul always says, go that way. Huh?
Be a sticker.
Be a sticker, huh? Be a sticker. Yeah. That's so, huh? Be a sticker.
Max, isn't it the same as the relationship between an ideal and an idea? If you think of consciousness as being a complete blank, just existence conscious of itself, then you begin to seek for something that's there, and the ideal comes to you, which is mind. And that ideal is relatively meaningless until it's understood and put into practice. So the understanding of the ideal which comes to you is the spirit. You identify the ideal itself. You comprehend it. Then you decide you want to be identified with that. You want to become the idea of the ideal, which is the expression of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you decide you want to be the idea of the ideal, then you are in soul and identify yourself with the basic thing you sought.
Yeah.
You were just a blank existence.
Yeah. Right. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes?
Then you have a standard to govern you, to push you on,
mm-hmm.
to live up to.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that true? Ideal and standard?
Yeah. Yeah. You get a bit mixed up now, huh? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Just take one step at a time. Huh? The ideal is truth. Huh? The ideal is an idea of truth. Huh? You have that in the compendium. Huh? And you see, the ideal has to do with the form of the idea. Whereas here we were speaking about, you see, we have to be clear about always stick to categories which we have once chosen. If we have chosen the category here of contemplating the human attitude towards the synonymous term, we have to stick to that and not mix it up with the divine categories, or else we are at sea. Hmm? We were going out from the human motion, from the human attitude. What is the human attitude in mind and in spirit and in soul? Hmm? And little by little came in something different, namely, is the idea an ideal or is the ideal not yet an idea, which has nothing to do with the attitude. Hmm? So you sensed it at once that something has gone out of of shape. All right, but we'll get to it, we'll get to it. Mm-hmm. So the main thing is now, if we take that soul is that which, say now, as an impact on the human, says to the human, now, go the way, huh? Go the way from sense to soul. With all you're getting now, get your identity with reality, with that which is real. Hmm? And so this sense of really going the way from sense to soul has always been in the Bible and in the textbook a very important aspect. She says the same thing you can say is when she says to turn from earth to heaven. It's the same thing. Huh? Completely different terms, and yet the idea is the same. To turn, that soul makes us to turn from earth to heaven. Where do you have in the Bible a very good sense of this transition from sense to soul?
Jacob's story.
Wilderness.
Egypt. Wandering around in Egypt.
And if you take the overall category of all what you said in the Bible, woohoo, come along.
Third.
You see, the 3,000-year period, huh? 3,000-year period is characterized by that constant wandering, going away out of the land of Ur, and starting out the passage and always wandering, until after the end of those 1,000 years, finally Israel settled down in Canaan. For the first time they settled, huh? But between Abraham going out from the land of Ur until Israel under Joshua and the churches settled in Canaan, they were always wandering. They were always trying to find their identity, their homeland, their identity, their name. During that period you always had the change from a material sense identification of themselves to a spiritual sense identification of themselves. They always changed their names in that period. They didn't change names before, they didn't change names afterwards. That whole period of the 3,000-year period, the third corresponding to soul, is all that sense of getting away from the sense, material sense identification of oneself, to identify oneself spiritually. Every change of name was a change from a material sense to a spiritual sense. Whatever that was, from Abram to Abraham, from Jacob to Israel, from Benomi to Benjamin, and you know them, etc., etc. I always say etc., etc. when nothing comes into my mind. Huh? But I know there must be somewhere more there. But that is the terrific spiritual sense in it there, huh? That it's that point where we try to find our spiritual identity, where we try to get away from a corporeal identification, from a material sense identification of what I am, to try to get away from that and strive very hard to find our own true spiritual identity. Yes. So we have that sense of wandering. You see, the moment we see the wandering, the seeking of the identity, it's that sense of soul. You know the story of David, of our first and second book of Samuel, well enough in their seven stages, or you have never studied that? Yeah. See, that is so wonderful. You know, in the story of David, the Bible shows the seven. First the story of mind, and then the story of spirit, and then the story of soul. And in the story of soul, it is always there where David had to flee from Saul. He was always persecuted by Saul, and David had constantly to flee. He was constantly, he dwelt always in another hule, in another cave, huh? Had to hid himself away in the desert. He could never settle down. And on that passage of wandering, of going through the wilderness, he always tried to find the true identity of himself and of soul. And of soul. Wonderful passage, you know, that those many chapters where he shows that man at that point of finding its own identification just always accepts only that which is divinely identifiable. He could always kill soul if he had chances all one after the other to kill soul. He never killed him. He always called his enemy in English, I think, the blessed of God's blessed, something like that. Huh? He never could see soul in any other way but the blessed of God, and he never touched it. He never touched the true identity of soul. And so in doing that, naturally he found his true identity. And the moment he could really fulfill that passage from sense to soul, at the end of that came principle, and he becomes king of Israel. He settles. He has now, then he takes in the land, he is possessor of the land, he is the governor of the land, and that comes then to principle. But that passage from sense to soul is a terrific story, one of the most beautiful story in the human life of each one. Actually, it's not David, it's us that is symbolized to show how we have to get away from the sense identification to the soul identification of ourselves and of our enemies, both. And it's a long passage, it's a long persecution, it's a long wandering, it's a long hiding oneself away until one is secure. Yes. It's a beautiful story. So, here we have, as a first motion, really, to see that now we really have to get away from false identification to the true identification through soul. All right. Then the next big title we have in the compendium is identity. Now, identity is a big term. Whenever the students of Christian Science talk about soul, the very first thing they bring up is identity. And what does identity mean, really? Let's first be clear, what means identity? We use that term so often. Do we really know what it means?
What it means? First thing, usually, is you name something when you identify it.
Yes?
You give it a name.
You give it a name. But that would be naming, huh? So we may see that soul names rightly, yes? Uh-huh.
Sameness.
Sameness, huh?
Identical.
Yeah. Identical is identity, yes, that's,
Being that which is. That's in strict sense. You're not equivalent, you are that.
You're that which is.
That which is, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes?
Would I say relationship?
No.
Because you would have to identify it with...
Uh-huh. Now, now you see, now I have asked what is identity, and you answer what is identifying, which afterwards we can also take, but let's see that these are naturally two different things, identity, I think, is what George said, is actually self-sameness. It's usually translated also as self-sameness. It says that something that is always that which it is. It is not so much saying that something is, but to say that something which is remains what it is. Remains what it is. I don't find the term right now. It preserves itself as what it is. That's identity. So that we can see soul would therefore show that things that are, the things created by mind that are, the things given substance through spirit that have been created by mind, have identity, that they remain what they are, that they will ever be what they are, that they will not change what they as what they are, that their identity is unchangeable, that it always remains the same as it ever was. Mm-hmm. You feel what identity means. And you get a terrific sense, you see, that things... All right, let's start again with mind. Mind is the creator. And you see, mind creates all. Spirit is the substance of that creation. It says it is tangible. It's that on which you can rely. It's that which you can stand on. Substance. But then, you see, if it wouldn't go further, thought still could say, oh yes, but that which you stand on can change, can always be thus changed, can always have another form, because a great principle in the universe is that everything changes. Huh? Whereas here we can see, no, that which mind creates is so substantial in spirit that it will always be the same, that it will never change its nature. Spirit has given nature, and soul says, and that nature never changes. You can't turn it upside down. What is, is. You cannot make it no more to be. You cannot change it. It remains as what it is. It's self-sameness. See, that's why in that wonderful period of the 3,000-year period, you have for the first time the definition of God as I am that, what that I am. It's the same that is what it is. Huh? And Moses could see at that point, that point of soul, that God is soul, that the nature of spirit, when it contemplated from the point of view of soul, is unchangeable. That never changes. So when we touch that identity, that self-sameness of being, where we can see that every idea has identity, that an idea created by mind, substantiated by spirit, spiritual substantiated, will never change, that it is that they form the identities of being. So we must never be afraid or that things that are divine suddenly change. Yeah?
Would you accept this as a definition of identity, that it is true, pure self-consciousness?
Yes. It has something to do with self. The moment you put in self, huh? You have really soul.
Hmm?
Yeah. But you bring in consciousness, you see, and identity, you can say the I am being conscious of itself, huh? Is true identity, is self-identity. Yeah. Self-identification, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Can you say that it's our spiritual security, because we like to be secure?
Yes, you get, because on the ground of identity, huh,
yes,
you get the sense of security.
It doesn't
huh?
change. You're
it doesn't change,
secure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one of the ideas, I don't think we have them in here, security. I don't think so, huh? You really could take in that, huh? That security is really what we get from the identity of soul. Why are we insecure in our life?
Huh?
Because we are afraid of change. Huh? Yeah. Because we think what we have tomorrow we have no more. It's gone. Huh? When we investigate one's own consciousness, what we entertain daily, we can see how we are constantly hesitant that which is may no more be. That fear of that things can change, that they can lose their identity, is very dominant in human consciousness. You just watch yourself and you will see that this is something very deep-seated in the human consciousness, the fear that things that are suddenly may no more be what they are. The loss that we can lose them. Is loss an idea of soul or something which we put on the soul? It's a negative, huh? But it's on the soul, huh? Because it says something which is may suddenly no more be, and that we consider as loss. If we would have a right sense of soul, we would never fear a loss. A loss of friendship, a loss of health, a loss of business, a loss of this and a loss of that and a loss of the other. Loss is the counterfeit of the identity of soul, because in soul, that which is ever will be. It never loses its self-sameness.
Doubt would be eliminated.
Doubt would be eliminated, yes. All right. So, when we have identity as soul, we have afterwards names. Now we come to the naming, huh? Soul names. Why would soul name? Now, reason it out, not from soul, reason it out from the ideas now. You did it very nicely before. Why does soul name?
Classifies, identifies.
Yeah? Yes. What does naming mean?
It makes it definite.
What does naming mean?
To make it definite, describe.
To describe, to define. Yes. Not to make it definite, huh? No, to define it, huh? Yes. Be careful, huh?
Specific.
Characteristic.
To specify, to yeah?
Specific.
To be specific, yeah. To describe it, to, yeah.
Characteristics.
You know, I think you should make sentences, you know, or else one doesn't know what you mean, you know. If you don't make sentences, one doesn't know what you say with characteristics, huh? Didn't you go to school and the teacher always said, make a sentence, huh? Or wasn't it so? Is it better here? We always were scorned. The teacher always said, make a sentence, huh? So that one knows what is the subject, what is the object, what is the verb, what is really brought out, huh? Because if you only say single terms, then you have just a Webster dictionary. There you have terms, huh? They don't mean anything.